Picture a middle-aged Englishman sitting in his car on New Year's Day 1975, attempting to end it all with a garden hose and exhaust fumes. His war medals rest on the dashboard, his divorce papers on the passenger seat. Then a halal butcher bangs on the window, furious about blocked deliveries. "No one gasses himself on my property," Mo Hussein Ishmael declares, inadvertently saving Archie Jones's life. Hours later, Archie meets Clara Bowden, a stunning Jamaican woman missing all her front teeth, at a party. 6 weeks later, they're married. This is how Zadie Smith's White Teeth begins, with interrupted suicide, chance encounters, and the collision of worlds that should never have met. What unfolds is a sprawling, hilarious, heartbreaking exploration of what it means to live between cultures, between generations, and between the past we inherit and the future we're trying to build. Clara's missing teeth tell their own story. She lost them in a scooter accident with her boyfriend Ryan Topps, a crash Ryan interpreted as divine punishment for her wavering faith. Before meeting Archie, Clara was a devout Jehovah's Witness, distributing pamphlets with her mother Hortense and awaiting the apocalypse. When the predicted end times failed to materialize on New Year's Eve, Clara's faith shattered. Yet she still yearned for salvation, making her vulnerable when Archie appeared the next morning like an unlikely savior. Their marriage represents reinvention, two people escaping predetermined destinies. But Smith pierces this illusion. You can flee your past, change your name, even replace your teeth, but inheritance follows. Clara's Jamaican accent persists despite her perfect false teeth. Her mother Hortense's religious fervor, inherited from Ambrosia, seduced and abandoned by an English captain during the 1907 Kingston earthquake, echoes through generations. The novel asks, can we ever truly start over, or do we simply reconfigure inherited patterns? If Clara represents escape through reinvention, Samad Iqbal embodies the opposite, clinging to tradition while drowning in Western temptation. He works as a waiter in his cousin's restaurant, humiliating for a man who constantly invokes his great-grandfather Mangal Pandey, supposedly a hero of the 1857 Indian Mutiny. His wife Alsana mocks his pomposity while punching him during arguments. Their twin sons, Majid and Millet, represent his greatest fear, children belonging fully to neither world. When Samad begins an affair with Poppy Burt Jones, his son's music teacher, his hypocrisy becomes unbearable. He's simultaneously a devout Muslim praying five times daily and a man consumed by lust. Unable to reconcile his desires with his values, Samad makes a devastating choice. He sends Majid back to Bangladesh to be raised properly. This act, never discussed with Alsana, becomes the wound around which the entire novel revolves. Samad's decision creates an unintentional experiment in identity. Majid, sent to Bangladesh to become a proper Muslim, returns more English than the English, ironing his underwear, speaking like David Niven, embracing Western rationalism. He becomes protege to Marcus Chalfin, a Jewish geneticist engineering Future Mouse, a creature programmed to develop cancers at predetermined times. Millet, raised in London, joins fundamentalist group Kevin, keepers of the eternal and victorious Islamic nation, burning Rushdie's The Satanic Verses, not from theology, but seeking visibility and belonging. Both twins flee toward opposite extremes, scientific determinism versus religious absolutism, yet both escape their father's muddled middle ground. Between them stands Erie Jones, struggling with her own inheritance. Her substantial Jamaican frame and kinky hair make her feel perpetually displaced. She gravitates toward the Chalfins, a middle-class Jewish family with clear lineage back to the 1600s, trying to merge with the Chalfins, to be of one flesh. Yet her grandmother Hortense's history awakens something different, a desire to claim her Jamaican heritage, a fantasy homeland representing clean beginnings against her family's fragmented oral tradition. Archie and Samad's friendship forged in World War II, serving together in a tank crew that captured Nazi scientist Dr. Marc-Pierre Perret. Samad forced Archie to execute the doctor, challenging him, "You don't stand for anything, Jones." Archie defended fighting for democracy and Sunday dinners, revealing their fundamental divide between absolute values and ordinary pleasures. But Archie harbors a secret. He never killed Perret. He flipped a coin. When it landed on tails, Perret grabbed the gun, shot Archie's thigh, and escaped. This lie festers for 50 years until Perret reappears as Marcus Chalfin's mentor at the Future Mouse exhibition. O'Connell's pool house becomes their sanctuary, a hybrid space where East meets West. Carpeted walls display racehorse paintings and Eastern script. An Irish flag knots with an Arab Emirates map. This third space defies categorization. Here, they argue endlessly about Samad's great-grandfather, Mangal Pandey, drunken failure or principled revolutionary. Their inability to resolve this question mirrors how we construct narratives serving our present needs. On New Year's Eve, 1992, Marcus unveils his Future Mouse, a genetically engineered mouse programmed to develop cancer on schedule. The exhibition becomes chaos. Hortense's witnesses protest outside. Joshua arrives with animal rights activists, and Millet comes armed. When Marcus introduces Dr. Perret, Samad recognizes the Nazi doctor and realizes Archie's 50-year lie. As Millet reaches for his gun, Archie instinctively throws himself between Millet and Marcus, taking a bullet in the same thigh Perret shot decades before. Crashing through the enclosure, Archie releases the Future Mouse, which escapes through an air vent. The mouse's flight represents the failure of all attempts to control destiny, whether through genetic engineering, religious doctrine, or cultural tradition. Archie's sacrifice affirms the value of moral ambiguity and human connection over rigid principles. Throughout the novel, teeth symbolize inescapable inheritance. Elderly neighbor Mr. Hamilton warns the children about wisdom teeth. They are the only part of the body that a man must grow into. He must be a big enough man for these teeth. These teeth come from one's father and can cause terrible infections if there isn't room. Have them out early. You can't fight against it. For the second generation, Erie, Majid, and Millet, their wisdom teeth include religious traditions, cultural expectations, and historical traumas they never personally experienced. The novel's most poignant irony, Erie sleeps with both twins in quick succession and becomes pregnant. Because Majid and Millet share identical DNA, paternity can never be determined. This biological uncertainty becomes Erie's unexpected liberation. Her child represents a future unbounded by the certainties that trap everyone else. White Teeth celebrates the messy, contradictory nature of modern multicultural existence without offering simple answers. Smith suggests our roots shape us in ways we can never fully escape, but they don't determine us. Irie's unborn child, who could be fathered by either Majid or Millet, represents a future where identity embraces ambiguity rather than clear lineage, a perfectly plotted thing that can never be mapped exactly nor spoken of with any certainty. In a world obsessed with genetic testing and fixed identities, Smith reminds us that not knowing can be its own kind of freedom. We are not prisoners of our DNA, our parents' choices, or our cultural inheritance. We are the ongoing conversation between past and future, between different ways of being human. That conversation is messy, painful, and sometimes absurd, but it's where life actually happens. Perhaps the greatest freedom comes not from escaping our inheritance, but from refusing to let it write our entire story.